Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Last Wednesday night, I talked about how to grow as a Christian. And we began a study on this, and we're going to look at a lot of different things over the next several weeks and probably next couple months. But there was three simple things, really, that I give you last Wednesday evening. One of them was this: read your Bible. The second one was this: pray. And the third one was this: be faithful to church. And if you're going to grow as a new Christian or as a Christian in general, amen, we got to read our Bible, we've got to go to the house of God, and we've got to pray. And if you'll remember last Wednesday night, I said this, a lot of times people tell us to do something, but then we don't know how to do it. They don't tell us how to do it. So you hear you need to grow as a Christian. So I told you last week some primary things to do to grow as a Christian. Now, the first one was this: study the Word of God. If you're going to grow as a Christian, I went and heard Brother Kenny Baldwin preach last night, and my soul, he preached a house down. But anyway, Brother Ted, that was great, wasn't it? Amen. He got to quoting Psalms 119, and I don't know, I thought he was going to quote the whole chapter, man. He went on and on and on. But anyway, he made this statement. He said, what you do with the Bible will determine what God does with you. What you do with the Bible will determine what God does with you. If you want God to use your life, you're going to have to apply yourself to His books, primarily what He was saying. So I made this statement last week and really preached a lot on this: study the Bible. Man, get in the Word of God. So tonight, here's what I want to talk to you about: how to study the Bible. I've told you we need to study the Bible. Well, preacher, how do I study my Bible? Well, let me give you some simple things. Now, you say, preacher, I know how to. Well, great. Just listen to what I've got to say tonight. There may be somebody that does it, all right? And you know what? If you listen with an open ear, you might just get a nugget out of it yourself. Watch what your Bible says. You can remain seated. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look in verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, a lot of times when we read that verse and we talk about that verse, we apply it to the preacher. The preacher needs to study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And can I say this to you? I agree with that statement tonight. A preacher does need to study the Word of God. Going to Bible college is not a requirement to be a preacher, but let me tell you the reason that I went to Bible college is because the Word of God told me to study to show myself approved, and I wanted to do that. I wanted to apply myself to that. You've heard me make this statement. Whenever I graduated with my doctorate, Mom asked me what I thought, and I said, well, I'm no more of a preacher today than I was the night that He called me, but at least I know I have applied myself to studying His Word. But He is not primarily talking to the preacher right here. He's talking to every child of God, and you know what He says tonight? Study the Bible. Every one of us sitting in here tonight does not have a choice if we're going to be in the will of God, because it's not a request. God didn't say, hey, if you have time, pick up my book and read it. No, God gave us a command, and that command is this: study the Bible. Study the Bible. Study the Bible. You say, well, preacher, how do I study the Bible? Can I say this to you tonight? It's important to develop a habit of studying the Word of God. Honestly, if we was all honest within ourselves tonight, we have a lot of habits in our life. You ever thought about this? Which shoe do you put on first? I put my right shoe on first. Go home, go to bed, and get up tomorrow and try to put your left shoe on first. You know what it is? It's awkward. Why? Because you develop a habit of the way you do things. If I'm going to fix my eggs, I don't fix them the way Miss Leslie fixes them. Miss Leslie walks over to the pan, she cracks them in the pan, and then they sit there, and then she scrambles them up. But when I fix them, I take the measuring cup, and I open it up in the measuring cup, and I scramble them up in the measuring cup. You get a more consistency in it of the yellow and the white. Are you with me right here now? I'm going to teach y'all how to cook eggs, all right? And then if you want them fluffy, you can throw a little cheese in there, and it'll make them a little more fluffy. Now, I don't put no oil in my pan. Me and Miss Helen were talking about that, or butter or anything like that. It'd probably make it better, but I try to be a little bit healthy every once in a while. Are you with me? Now, watch this. Why do you do that? It's a habit. It's a habit. You say, preacher, what are you saying tonight? Studying the Word of God needs to be a habit. If you'll make up your mind, I'm going to do it, and you'll make it a habit, you know what it'll become? It'll become a habit, and you'll do it. It'll become a habit, and you'll do it. I want to show you some things tonight about studying the Word of God. Let me give you just three or four quick things. Now, these are basic things, and I'm going to show you some different tools on the screen. I'm going to show you some different books here in just a little bit. But here are some things to do if you're going to study your Bible. Number one, are you ready tonight? Establish a time. Establish a time. Once again, it needs to become a habit. You know what going to church is tonight? It's a habit. Going to church is, you say, oh, preacher, it ain't no habit. It really is. It's a habit. And let me tell you the reason when you miss three or four or five services, you don't go back as quick because you've broke your habit. It's a habit tonight. So if you're going to study the Word of God, number one, establish a time that you're going to read your Bible. Some people read their Bible first thing in the morning. Some people read their Bible before they go to bed. Some people read their Bible at dinner time. I don't know when is the best time for you to read your Bible. That's up to you, but you need to establish a time and say, during this time, I'm reading my Bible. I'm going to take from 5:30 to 5:45 every morning and read my Bible. I'm going to take from 6 to 6:30 every morning and read my Bible. I'm not going to let nothing else interfere with that. That's my time in God's Word, reading His Word. Establish a time. If you'll establish a time, what will it become? It'll become a habit to you. It'll become a habit to you. Can I say this to you? In establishing that time, set you a goal. Now, what I mean by that is say, all right, I'm going to read the Word of God for 15 minutes. Or I'm going to read 3 chapters of the Word of God. Or I'm going to read 5 chapters of the Word of God. Now, I want to say this to you, and I'll say more about this as we get on into our study tonight. Be careful saying I'm going to read 12 chapters a day. Sometimes we'll get caught up on a quantity and lose the quality of it. What I mean by that is that time where it's not, there's times that I'm going to do the New Testament in 21 days. And if I'm going to do that, the majority of that, I'm going to listen to it. And can I just say this? When I do things like that, that's completely separate than my regular Bible reading time. It's a different time that I do that. And I will pour the Word of God into me. If I'm going through something, if I'm battling the devil, if it seems like the demons of hell are raging against me, you know what I do? Man, I turn the Word of God on, and everywhere I go, I'm listening to the Word of God. I'm pouring the Word of God in me. Amen. But establish a time. Number two, not only establish a time. Number two, listen to me tonight. Study to show thyself. Establish a place. Have a place that you're going to read your Bible. I've got 2 primary places that I read my Bible. It's not on the bed. Let me tell you the reason it's not on the bed. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm just being honest with you. Some people can just sit on their bed. If I go to bed, I'm going to bed, all right? Whether it's 10 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock at night, If I go to the bed and sit down on the bed, I'm going to sleep, Brother Matt. I can't read at the bed. I go to sleep, praise God. Establish a place. I've got two primary places. Number one is my office here at the church. That's primarily where I read my Bible and study my Bible at. But number two is our kitchen table. And if I'm going to read my Bible and study my Bible at our kitchen table, it's at one or two times. It's early, early in the morning before anybody but Leslie gets up, or it's late at night after everybody's gone to bed, and usually even Miss Leslie's gone to bed if I'm going to study my Bible at night. I don't study my Bible much at night. Here's the reason why. I'm going to sleep. When the sun goes down, it's time to go to bed. I don't understand people that wants to stay up to midnight or 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. They're crazy. When I was a little boy, my mama would tell you this. When I was a little boy and the sun went down, it was time for Jonathan to go to bed. I'm the same way now. Man, I go to bed. So at nighttime, it's not a study time to me because I'm going to go to sleep. But establish a time to study the Bible, but establish a place to study the Bible. Can I just say this to you? It's sacred time. Have a good, quiet place. Man, that you can shut the world out, that you can turn social media off. That I got two. I got one good amen and a little bit of another. So let me say it again. Turn social media off. Turn your phone off. My phone's going on do not disturb. You say, well, what if I need you? I'll see it in a little while. Are you with me? I put it on do not. It's my time with the Lord, man. It's my time with His Word. Establish a place. Number three, watch this. Now I'm headed somewhere and I need to hurry to get there. Number three, here's a good rule of thumb. When you're going to study your Bible, have a notebook and a pen. Now I understand that we're living in a paperless society, it seems, anymore. If you're going to use a tablet, and I do, that's what I have tonight. It's my iPad that the church bought me, and there's my outline for tonight. There's nothing wrong with using this, but you better learn how to be self-disciplined. Because let me tell you what happens on this. My phone calls come to it. My text messages come to it. Social media's on it. The news is on it. Don't y'all act like that. Y'all are the same way. So if you're going to use it, you better learn how to put it in do not disturb. And I have some guidelines. When it's my time with the Lord, if I go on to the internet, I'm going on to Logos Bible Software, or I'm going on to Blue Letter Bible, or I'm going on to the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, or I'm looking up something to go along with my Bible study. The reason I say have a notebook and a pen is because of the fact we can push all of the distractions to the side. When you're studying, it's a good thing to do to write down questions that you have about a verse. If you read a verse, write a question down about that and then dig into that question and try to find it. Write down verses that help you. For instance, in your Bible, you can write down the word. There's these blank pages in the back, and you can write down the word depression. And then write some verses beside of that, some references beside of that that will take you to verses on depression, anxiety, doubt. Are you with me? You can write those things down. Have a notebook and a pen and use that. Now, number four. And I'm about to get to where I want to go. Number four, this is just simple stuff tonight, okay? Number four. Have a pen for marking in your Bible. Now, everybody's got their own pen. There ain't no way I'm going to write in my Bible. Well, I do, okay? And I think it's a good thing to do. For instance, one of the verses that is highlighted in my Bible is Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. male and female created he them. And when somebody comes to me and goes, hey, where's that at in the Bible? Well, I know it's in Genesis. You know what I can do? I can go right there in the first couple chapters of Genesis and look at those highlights. And, oh, right here, let me read it to you. Here's another thing that I do in my Bible. The Romans' road to salvation is highlighted in my Bible. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's highlighted. Now watch this. After I highlight that, I take a pen and right beside of that verse, the next verse that I'm going to in Romans. You say, well, preacher, you need to remember that. I know I do, but you know what? The devil, you're in the altar, people's around you, this and over here is praying for the grandma with an ingrown toenail. This and over here is praying that somebody get filled with the Holy Ghost. This and over here is about to talk in tongues, and you're trying to, not literally, well, they may be. It'd be unscriptural. We'll ask them to be quiet. And you're trying to lead this person to the Lord, and all of a sudden when you read that verse, you remember that you may not have turned the crock pot off at home. Are you with me? You remember that. This is for the women here. That one was for the men. That you didn't turn, y'all will get that in a minute, that you didn't turn the curling iron off. Or you left a candle burning. Are you with me? And all of a sudden, man, you're in the altar. You're trying to lead somebody to Jesus. They really need to see the Scriptures. And all of a sudden, your mind's gone blank. Where do I go to next? So take that highlighter, highlight that Romans road, and then write which one you go to next. Here's another thing that I do. In 1 John 5:13, these things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. It's a great verse on the assurance of salvation. But it's not the only verse. So you know what I've done? I've done a study on verses for the assurance of salvation. And at 1 John 5:13, that's my kickstart verse. And I go to that because I know, Brother Josh, I'm going to remember that verse. I go to that, and then after I read it, you know what I've got wrote in my Bible? Right beside of that, I've got references to other verses to do with that. So I think personally that it is a good thing to write in your Bible. In my Bible, primarily, I use a blue pen, but you'll find some green and you'll find some red. If you ever look in my Bible, especially now, the ones that I preach out of, and find green, if you look the page before it or the page after it, within just a couple of pages, you're going to find green again. And that is a continuation of something. That's the way I do in my Bible. It's circled in green, or it's highlighted in green, or underlined in green. It means that there's something else continuing in that chapter, in that book, that deals with that. And underlining and writing in your Bible, man, these words, I remember when I first started preaching. Now you can laugh at me if you want to, but I'm telling you, man, and I still can't pronounce good stuff. See there? I still can't pronounce stuff good. You know what I would do? I would circle the word that I didn't know how to pronounce, Brother Josh, and I'd draw an arrow off of it, and I would write the way it sounded to me. And you know what I could do? I could read that, and when I saw that, I knew that's the way it... I mean, I'm not saying that they misspelled it in the King James, but if John would have been writing it, it would have been wrote a little bit different. The spelling. Understand what I'm saying? So it's nothing wrong with writing, underlining, and marking in your Bible. Number five, here's what I wanted to get to. Have some good basic Bible study tools. There's no replacement for the Bible. Somebody give me a witness right there. There's no replacement for the Scriptures. And I have one Bible that's a wide margin Bible that I preach out of some whenever I'm traveling that is nothing but text. There's no cross references. There's no study notes in it besides things that I've wrote in it. It's a wide margin text only Bible that I preach out of some. But primarily, I preach out of a study. This is a study Bible, and it's what I preach out of primarily. Have some good basic Bible studies. Number one, underneath that, I would say this. Get you a good study Bible. Get you a good study Bible. Now, you know I'm King James from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, and that's what I'll always be. Somebody give me an amen right there. So when I say a study Bible, get you a King James study Bible, okay? Get you a good King James study Bible. Now, I'm going to give you some references tonight to some study Bibles. The very first, if you would have said this 15 years ago, everybody would have immediately went to an old Oxford Scofield Bible. That's just a matter of fact. There's probably a few people sitting in here tonight. That's what you're holding in your lap. If I could see it enough, I could tell you from a distance if it's an old Oxford Scofield Bible. John chapter 3, verse 16. Part of it's on one page. The next part's on the other page. Are you with me? That's how much I used one. I'm not against them. When it comes to a timeline, I think that they have the best timeline. I refer to an old Oxford Scofield Bible sub. I don't preach out of one or use one regularly, but it's a good one. I do think that there's better. Now, here's some other ones. There is also what is called the Life Application Study Bible. Probably anybody in here tonight holding up a Life Application Study Bible. The Life Application Study Bible is phenomenal. Now, I don't agree with all of it. Let me back up and rephrase that. I don't agree with all the notes in it. I agree with every bit of the text, but I don't agree with all the notes in a Scofield Bible either, okay? But the Life Application, it's got tremendous character studies in it. If you're wanting to study the character of somebody or study the life of somebody, man, I'm telling you, it's got tremendous character studies in it. It's got tremendous introductions to the books in it. It's a great, great study Bible, Life Application Study Bible. Here's another one, the Rock of Ages Study Bible. The Rock of Ages Study Bible is a great study Bible. It's one of the best all-around study Bibles. The only fault that I personally have with the Rock of Ages Study Bible is there's no quick cross-references in it. And I'm a huge cross-reference guy. That's my favorite thing of anything is cross-references to the Bible. And the Rock of Ages does not have that. And probably, in all honesty, that's the only reason I don't preach out of one and use it all the time, because I do love the other notes in it. But I'm a big cross-reference guy. So that's a great study Bible also. Now, another one is this, Ryrie, R-Y-R-E, a Ryrie study Bible. Years ago, they became popular. You don't see them a lot now in people's hands. Again, I can look at them. Robert's holding a church Bible. It's made by Church Bible Publications. There's no cross references in it. It's a straight text Bible is what it is. Zeb's got one by him, and that's a remake of a Cambridge Cameo. It does have cross references in it. Cambridge quit making that Bible, and I've got two of them that's the original Cambridge Cameos, and Church republished it. Chelsea's is way too little for me to see. But watch this. The Ryrie Study Bible is great. It's one of my go-tos. Matter of fact, there's not many messages that I preach that I don't go to a Ryrie Study Bible and look at the notes of it. I love the outline of the book in the beginning of the Ryrie Study Bible. All right? Here's you another one. Now, I'm just giving you some helps tonight, okay? If you come back Sunday morning, I promise you we're going to go deep and expository and alliteration in the life of Elijah. Watch this. Here's another one. It's the one that I preach out of 99% of the time, that I use 99% of the time, and it's called An Old Scofield Type 3. That's the name of it. It's got a lot of the same cross references that the original old Oxford Scofield had, but it's laid out different and it's got different notes in it. It's a great print. It's a great study Bible. You're not going to buy one that looks like this. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that. This one was sent to Leonard's and was completely redone with a concordance and map took out of the back and make it thinner. But it's a good study Bible. It's got good notes in it. I hate to tell you about this one because sometimes I'm giving an outline to a book going into it or to a chapter and what's going on in that chapter. And if you got one of these, Brother Ramsey, you're going to read what I'm preaching, okay? It's a great, great study Bible, okay? So there you go. Now, I'll give you two other references to Bibles. Those are good study Bibles. Here's two references to Bibles. The thing that I like about this one, it's got great notes. It's got the words of Christ in red. I personally like that. Some people says all of it's the words of Christ. I know it is, but I like having the words of Christ in red. It's got great cross references. And here's what I mean by cross reference. Let me just slow down right here for a second before I wrap up tonight. Here's what I mean by cross reference. In your Bible, Josh has got a church Bible. That's a Schuyler, and that's a remake of the Trinitarian. It's what that is. It's a great cross-reference Bible. I sold you that Bible, didn't I? Or I probably gave you that Bible. But anyway, it's a great Bible. That's a Scofield. That's probably a Scofield, a newer type of the Scofield. Here's what a cross-reference is. In your Bible, if you've got cross-references, for instance, we looked at study in the word study. And in my Bible, the word study there in verse number 15 has a zero beside it, not a zero, but an O beside of it, okay? And if you look, my Bible has it on the outside. Most Bibles, besides Miss Tanya's, will have it on the inside. Has it right here if it's a cross-reference Bible. My O right there takes me to O, and it takes me to 1 Timothy 4:13 and to 2 Peter 1:10. If I go look at those verses, they're going to coincide with this verse. And that's the reason I love cross references, because it's a commentary on the Bible from the Bible. Does that make sense? It's going to keep you right in the Bible, man. And boy, it's good when you read a verse and you're like, whew, man, that's good. And then you see that cross-reference and you go to run that cross-reference and you see that it is established throughout the Word of God. If it's said one time, that's enough. Somebody give me a witness. But it's established throughout the Word of God, okay? Premium Bibles, people's asked me this, and it's the only reason I'm going to say it tonight. I've got two picks when it comes to premium Bibles. Number one, you better have a deep pocketbook if you're going to buy premium Bibles. They start about $250. I got two picks. My first pick is a Schuyler Canterbury. They're awesome Bibles, man. Leslie's holding one in her hand. She's had for years. A Schuyler Canterbury, they're hard to beat. Number two is an R.L. Allen. And R.L. Allen is an old Oxford text is what it is. And the Canterbury is a digital print, so it's going to be a lot easier to read. And they're beautiful, man. I'm telling you. If you ever see me preach out of one that's red with blue pages, that's a Canterbury is what that is. If you see me preach out of one that's blue with red pages that's got specks all over the pages, that's an R.L. Allen Limited Edition 53 spec. I ordered one of those in black one time, and they brought it on a Sunday afternoon, and my dog smelt the goat skin. And a $375 Bible was laying all over my yard when I got home. And that dog's probably going to heaven because she got beat with the Word of God all over the... I shouldn't say that. Peter will be after me. So get you a good study Bible. Now here's a couple things I'm going to give you in closing, all right? Here's four go-to helps, all right? Here's four great things. Number one is an 1828 Webster's Dictionary. Are you ready, Miss Stephanie? It's an 1828 Webster's Dictionary. Go to dictionary.com. Dictionary.com, if you go on there and put the word Savior in, here's what you're going to find it says. A person who saves, rescues, or delivers. Then it comes down a title of God, especially of Christ. Now, go to an 1828. Both of these are online. So in 1828, when you go to the word Savior in 1828, it says, one that saves or preserves, but properly applied only to Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, who has opened the way to everlasting salvation by His obedience and death, and who is therefore called the Savior by way of distinction, the Savior of men, the Savior of the world. General Washington may be called the Saver, but not the Savior of this country. That's the reason I use an 1828 Webster's Dictionary, man. That's my go-to, all right? When you hear me quote a dictionary, 99.999999% of the time, it's going to come from there, all right? It's a download. I don't know you that's lost and has Androids. I don't know about your phone, but I'm just picking it. But an Apple, you can download an 1828 Webster's Dictionary, and it's free. It'll give you scripture references on a lot of definitions. I use it every sermon. I use a dictionary, all right? Then, number two, I'll show you this. It's called Blue Letter Bible. Anybody familiar with Blue Letter Bible? Anybody ever use Blue Letter Bible? All right. If you're not, you're missing out. This is by far the greatest free resource that there is today for studying the Word of God. I'm telling you, man, it is phenomenal. We're in John chapter 3, verse 16. So whenever you look at John 3:16, hit tools and close it up for just a second. It's going to come up like that. Come back to tools again, Miss Stephanie. Whenever you hit tools, it's going to come up like this. And you can look at the different things, the interliner, the Bibles, the cross-references, commentaries, dictionaries. Now, scroll down right there where you're at for just a second, Miss Stephanie. Whenever you scroll down, it's going to have the verse, for God so, and it's going to divide it up. And just go to the word loved right there. And if you'll look over to the word loved, there's a letter and a number, which we know the New Testament is in Greek, was translated from Greek. So that's the Greek word. And if we had it plugged into the sound system, and we do, but we're not going to take time to push the buttons and make it all happen. You can actually hit that little speaker right there, and it'll go, ha, ha, ha. And that's the... Y'all didn't know I knew Greek, did you? Harshua. Y'all didn't know that. That's love in Greek. Are you with me? Harshua. Can you say it, D.C.? Yeah, I didn't think you could. He don't know Greek. He knows Indonesian. But watch this. I'm sorry. Right, let's get back to the lesson. I love you, C.D. I mean, D.C. Hit that. Hit that, Miss Stephanie. Get going. When you hit that, it's going to take you to the Greek word, then you can see right there it is. It's agape is what it is. It don't say that way in Greek. It's hashawa in Greek. It shows you the different things. Scroll on down. It will show you the meanings of it. And then you can keep scrolling down. It's the Strong's. Everybody used to say this. You need to get a Strong's Concordance. You remember that term years ago, Strong's Concordance. Don't go buy Strong's Concordance. It's free. Right here it is. It's time management and it's free, okay? Then come on down to the bottom right there. Here is every time that word's mentioned in the Bible. All right? So if you want to look at that particular word, every time it's mentioned in the Word of God, right there it is, man. It's all right there. I'm telling you, if you're not using Blue Letter Bible, you're missing out. Scroll back up towards the top there, Miss Stephanie, if you don't mind. You can also keep scrolling. Is that all of it? Okay, go back. Put it in reverse, Terry. Now scroll back up. All right, right here. You can, I'm not worried about this Bible because I'm just going to look at it in the King James. However, hear me out before you write me off. There is times that I'll click that. The reason that I do is to prove that there is a difference. To prove there is a difference. If we had time tonight, I'd walk you through some of that. We will when we look at the history of the King James. Hit your cross-reference right there. There's all the cross-references. that you can find to it. Then your commentaries. There's different commentaries. Here's a great commentary, okay? Here's a great commentary. This is probably a commentary that I go to in just about every message that I preach. J. Vernon McGee. It's old, and a lot of people think it's dated. But here's the thing about J. Vernon McGee. I can go to 397 other books, and they won't say something. But Brother Matt, I can pick up Brother J. Vernon McGee, and 99% of the time, Brother Josh, he's going to say something about what I want to know about, all right? On this, you can actually, if you'll scroll up, it's in there. I'm not going to take time to find it for you. J. Vernon McGee's commentaries is on there, and you can look at it, okay? So there's a great study tool. All right, so number one, 1828. Number two, Blue Letter Bible. Number three, Through the Bible with J. Vernon McGee. Number four, and again, I don't agree with everything he says. There's some great things. Number four, here's a tool that you need. If you do not have a Way of Life encyclopedia, if I had to give up every book in my office tonight, if I was made, I had to get rid of everything online, and I've got twice, three, four times as many books online as I do in my office. If I had to give up all of my digital library, if I had to give up every book, I could keep one book and I could keep one Bible. Number one, the book would be, without a question, would be the Way of Life Encyclopedia. Hands down, that's the book that I'd keep, the Way of Life Encyclopedia. Tremendous. A lot of y'all have them. We've sold I don't know how many cases here. If you don't have one, get you a Way of Life. Number two, the Bible that I'd keep, it'd be a toss-up between this Bible that I preach out of and a Ryrie Study Bible. That's my two go-tos right there. All right. Now, here's another thing that'll help you study in the Bible. A good devotional book. A good devotional book. I love a good devotional book. Okay? It's hard to find a good devotional book that I agree with everything in it. You have to come to a place where you eat the meat and throw the bones out, okay? This is, all of these right here are Miss Leslie's. That's the reason they look like a lady. The cool thing about this company is they make the same book with the same context in it. Everything's the same. But it looks like a man. Are you with me? That's the ones that I order for me, okay? And matter of fact, they got one on 40 Days with Jesus. It's a great book to read right now going into to the crucifixion. And it is made by this company. It's called the Daily Grace Company. Take your Bible and use your Bible with this, okay? You hear what I just said? Use your Bible with this. And I promise you, the majority of these don't even quote Scripture. The majority of them just give a reference to Scripture. There's some that does, and I'm just telling you, man, this one right here, it's Journey, the Steadfast Life, and it's on the book of James. I'm fixing to start one tomorrow on the book of Ecclesiastes on finding our purpose in life. These are great study tools, okay? And what it'll do, I'm not interested. Look, I got ADD, okay? So I need some pictures. And I like something that looks better than something that somebody run off of a copy machine and took a three-ring binder and put it together. I'm not knocking anything. I'm just telling you what keeps my attention, Brother Brian. That's what keeps my attention, okay? The Daily Grace Company is a good place. Again, take your Bible. Use your Bible with it, okay? In closing, different types of studies you can do in the Bible. The best is a verse-by-verse study. You'll not improve on a verse-by-verse study. You can do what is called a topical or a subject. In other words, you take the topic of baptism, or you take the topic of the Lord's Supper, or you take the topic of prayer. Are you with me? And you study that. Another one, I love these, probably my favorite besides verse by verse, is characters. I love to study characters in the Bible. Man, they're great. John Butler wrote a great series of character studies. You can study the culture. And what I mean by that, what was it like during that day? There's a lot of verses that people take out of context because they don't understand the culture. Now, I'm going to tell you something then. It was different back then than it is today. Dressed the way a man dressed back then is different. If I dressed like they did back then, you'd call me a sissy. So when you go to the Old Testament and try to pull that verse out about a woman not putting on a man's garment and a man not putting on a woman's garment, everybody okay right there? You need to understand culture. What is he talking about? You say, well, there's a primary interpretation. There's a profitable application, prophetical application, and a practical application. You're right. But I'm going to tell you something. When you try to take your practical application and it goes against primary interpretation, you're taking Bible out of context. Well, it's getting quiet tonight. Maybe we need to talk about that a little bit more. Study the culture. You need a good manners and customs book to do that. There's all kinds out there, okay? Preacher, how do I study my Bible? There's a few things, all right? There's a few things. Second thing I told you to do last week was this, pray. Pray. Read your Bible, pray. Preacher, how do I pray? Well, the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And you know what he done? He taught them to pray. So next Wednesday night, with the help of the Lord, we'll look at that. What he told the disciples to pray, all right? If we're going to pray, we need to know how. If we're going to read our Bible, we're going to study the Bible, we need to know how. You said, preacher, I thought we was talking about doctrines. Let's get the basic things down first. Are you with me? And let me say this again, and we're going to go home. I don't agree with every study Bible. I don't agree with every preacher. Are you with me? I don't agree with me sometimes. You ever read something, Brother Ramsey, and got up and said something about it and then went back home, read it again, and went, I may have missed that a little bit. You preach long enough, you teach long enough. Are you with me? Here's the key to understanding your Bible. Two things. This is the keys to understanding your Bible. Number one, knowing the author. Knowing the author. Number two, praying before you read it. God, as I read, hey, if I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to pray. God, and here's the verse that I quote in my prayer, okay? I don't talk about my prayer life much, but here's the verse that I quote in. James said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who give it to all men freely. God, I need wisdom in this book today. Help me understand it. Father, I'm admitting to you, I lack wisdom. God, help me today understand what I read. You know what God will do? God will help you, man. God will help you.